Psalm chapter number 84. Psalm chapter number 84. Stand together with me for the reading of God's word. It says in verse 1, this is the precious passage. I love this passage. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Man, I used to see preachers take their glasses off and put them on, you know, and I think that is so weird. I don't know if any of you are like me. I can't read with my glasses on. They're trifocals, and I can't find where the thing is. So I just take them off and read it like this. Anybody like me? Are you kidding me? Wow. I'm a weirdo. All right, verse 1. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. In Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Father, bless our time together in these next few moments. Thank you for giving us the word of God. Lord, we're just going through a troubled world. And Lord, we're trying to serve you, trying to do what's right. I pray, Father, that you would just encourage our hearts today. You're so good to us. Might we see a little bit of that today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life that I wanted out of church. You know, there was a time in my life where they were all telling me to go to church, and I don't want to go to church. I wanted to go someplace else. And I could sit and listen to my dad preach or whoever the preacher was, and my mind could be 1,000 miles away. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 14, and it says, "I was in all evil in the midst of the congregation." I grew up in a Christian home, and sadly, I didn't cherish it like I should have. Don't you wish there's things in your life? Sometimes you wish you could go back and redo that whole thing, hit rewind and go back there and redo, but you don't get to, do you? You live this day, and then you don't get that day back. As our esteemed vice president recently said, she said, "Today eventually becomes yesterday." Woo, man, that was deep, man. I tell you, I had to think about that for a few days and before I grasped that. And she said, "And tomorrow will become today." I'm like, that is really some precious stuff you're bestowing down to us. But the reality is that God blessed you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with something that is extremely precious. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, it doesn't get that. That's the best gift that ever. You know, the Bible says that it's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. Aren't you glad you got that gift given to you? If you have never received Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll take care of that. Let us help you with that before it's eternally too late. It doesn't cost you any money. You don't have to invest in stock or something. When you get to heaven, there's not going to be a scale up there that'll weigh out your good and your bad. You need Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary. There's a sin debt that has to be paid. Somebody has to pay for your sins. You can pay for it yourself. You can go to hell and burn forever there. And you can pay for your own sins. But you don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. And here's the great part about it. God the Father accepts that payment. That is the only payment that he accepts, is Jesus Christ. So you don't want to die and show up before God the Father and have something else. Well, you know, I got my own way. It's not going to work. He sacrificed his only begotten son for you. So you want to leave this earth and make sure you got Jesus with you. Amen. Otherwise, you're in deep, deep trouble. I'm so thankful that I can tell you today that I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And you may say, you may look at me and say, boy, you think pretty highly of yourself, huh? Well, no, it's the exact opposite. I don't think anything of myself. That's how I got saved. I found out I was a sinner headed to hell because I'm nothing. He's everything. And I bowed my heart, I bowed my head, and I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did that when I was 5 years old. I've been saved for 55 years. I found out here before my dad died, I found out that I got saved on the same day that I got married. Isn't that wild? Date. Not on the same day. All right, let's get that straight right now. But I got saved on August 15th. And then August 15th is when my wife and I got married. But there's lots of things. But I want to talk to you today about a gift that God has given you that is so precious. You know what it is? Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Church is great. Yes, sir. It's just great. It is awesome. My four kids, when my wife and I raised them, we weren't like, you know, you've been naughty. You're going to church. You know, that wasn't our mentality, you know? And nor did we say, you've been naughty, so you can't go to church. We never used God as a disciplinary tool. Never did that. But what we did do is church was great. It was awesome. It was exciting. There was always something going on there. Man alive, Pastor Ross came up with another big day. Yeah, we were always doing something. My kids, I would get ready to go down to the church, and they would say, where are you going, Dad? Where are you going? And I'd say, I'm going down to the church. Can we go? Can we go? Like, well, okay. But they wanted to be there. They didn't want to miss out on anything. You know, church is fun. I mean, just think for a second. And we'll go through this over the next few minutes. You know, stuff happens at church, doesn't it? You with me? So in that passage, is it all how lovely, how amiable, and all that stuff? That's talking about the house of God. Amen? But you know, you ever come to church and your wife was like home with the flu? And you get home and you say, oh man, they had this fat preacher from California there. Not from California. Missionary to California, all right? I'm from Wyoming. Make sure you tell the story straight now, all right? You go, there was a fat preacher and he sang and it was great. And she goes, uh-huh. Yeah, the kids were throwing up, and you can't reduplicate it, right? Oh, you got to listen to it. Just get to listen to it. It's not even the same. Do you remember during, I don't use this word in church very often, I apologize, but AJ already used this cuss word in church, so I can use it. Remember during COVID, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. That's like a cuss word at our house. I hate that word. So tired of that word, especially when they put 19 with it. Oh, I got COVID-19. Well, that's interesting. This is 24. How'd you get COVID-19 in 24? Do you know anything? Oh, drives me crazy. But I do say this. Everywhere I go, I say this. Thank God for Joanne Fabric. Joanne Fabric saved the world. The most deadly virus hit us. But you could go to Joanne's Fabric and make yourself a mask to save you from the world's. Sorry. Let's get back to the message. Oh, yeah. Moving on. I love church. Do you love church? Amen. The psalmist said, how amiable are thy tabernacles. You know, I grew up in church and stuff happens in church. And you want to be able to say, I was there. I was there when that happened. Lots of stuff happens. I remember one Sunday my father was preaching and he said, I'm going to tell you now, you need to get alone with God in that quiet place where there's nothing there to disturb you. I mean, you're just alone with God and you can talk with God in that secret place. And he paused. And on the back row, a little girl wound up her toy and it said, Yankee Doodle went to lunch. I remember that. I was there. I remember. Nobody has to tell me that story. I remember that. Oh, yeah. My father was preaching one Sunday. And he said, you need to get in the bird. I mean, he said it with authority. You need to get in the bird. And, of course, he meant the word. But me and my sister just started laughing. I mean, I don't know if everybody else caught it, but we were like, and of course, my mother's sitting there. And if my father ever looked at you while he was preaching and he bit this lip right here, you knew you were getting lightning and thunder when you went home. And I remember my dad's like that. It's not funny anymore, you know. My dad chopped his finger off on a planer. He was planing a wood and it tipped and his finger went in there. I'll never forget that experience. The blood was popping up all like this, you know, just every beat of the heart, his blood was shooting up. And my father, he said, "Well, better go get your mother." I remember that. I was 10 years old, and I remember my dad, "Well, you better go get your mother." And I ran over to the church. My mother was speaking to some ladies in a ladies' meeting, and I ran over there. I said, "Mom, Dad cut his finger off." And so we go back over there, and my mom is wrapping it up, and they're getting ready to go to the hospital. And my dad said, "Look around in the sawdust, son, and find my finger. We might be able to save it." So now I'm a little kid, and I'm digging through the sawdust, finding my dad's finger. And I found it. Oh, and I had to pick it up, put it in a thing. And of course, it was so mangled, they couldn't save it. And so my dad, after it all healed and everything, he was preaching. And he said, "All right, point number one, and point number two, and point number three, and point." He missed his finger. It wasn't there anymore. He felt like it was there, but it wasn't there. Nobody has to tell me these stories. I remember because I was there. I mean, stuff happens in church, amen? And you want to be there, you don't want to miss it. I could tell you a whole bunch of other things that happen in church, but probably the greatest thing that ever happened in church that I could say I was there for was when Mrs. Holt got baptized. Now, Mrs. Holt, just to start this out, my father, before he baptized, now remember, my dad, 6'4", 235, 250, he's a big, big man, strong, not a lot of body fat on him. My dad was full of strength. But my father, he saw in Mrs. Holt that he needed to really be prepared for this baptism. And so he went to her husband and he said, "How much does she actually weigh?" And her husband said, "Well, you know, we put her on the cattle scale out at the ranch and she's 450 pounds. And my dad was like, all righty. So they announced in church that Mrs. Holt was going to get baptized in 2 weeks. Now, you have to understand, none of us had televisions. We had no entertainment. We had nothing, you know. We literally, all of us kids back in those days, hear how it went. Maybe some of you remember this. My mother would be standing in the kitchen after breakfast and we'd be kind of milling around doing whatever and under her feet and stuff. And my mother would say, "Listen, man, if you can't find something to do, I'll find something for you." You remember those days? And man, I was out the back door so fast. The only rule we had was that we had to be home before the streetlights came on. If we were still out after the streetlights went on, my father would send us to bed without supper. Oh, he was an evil man, that man. We knew, man, I didn't want to miss supper, so we was home, you know. We got home no matter what. And I remember this, and I was a junior in the junior boys' class, you know, and we didn't have televisions. We didn't have entertainment. Man, we said, "Hey, they're going to baptize Mrs. Holt. Oh, they're going to baptize Mrs. Holt." I mean, we were so excited. I couldn't wait for this to happen. You know, this was going to be the great. I remember thinking, my father was in the baptism, and here came Mrs. Holt. "As God is my witness, I was there." I remember Mrs. Holt took one step into the water, and they had the plexiglass. You don't have plexiglass. They had plexiglass about this high so that it kind of looked like the Jordan River, you know, the water there, you know. And she stepped down in there and the water rose. And my father reached up and he grabbed her hand and she got another step down in and the water rose. And finally she was all the way down in there and the water rose. And my father, he said, "My sister, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And so my father, he took her hand here. And what he would do is he would have your hands like this and you'd plug your nose and you'd go backwards, you know, and he'd do that thing. And he said, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he started to take her back. She forgot to tell him she was deathly afraid of water. So as he starts to take her back, now you got to remember this. My father was a literalist. You weren't baptized until every square inch of you was immersed. That had to happen. All right. So He starts baptizing her, and she gets her right hand loose. He's got her other hand, and she's flopping around like a wounded whale. I mean, it is like water, water, water's flying around. The junior boys are in the front row. We're like, yeah, this is great. And then she grabbed the plexiglass and ripped it out of the wall, and the water all came into the auditorium. Listen, man, nobody has to tell me that story. I was there. I've never forgot it. I cleared this with my father before he died. I said, Dad, I'm going to start telling this story. Now, how much did she weigh? I went through the whole thing. And he said, yeah, you got it. That's exactly what happened. I said, oh, my soul, I remember that. I was there. I was in a church. Well, my father one Sunday morning, he told me, he always did just as I am for the invitation. But one Sunday, for whatever reason, he told me, and by the way, my father could not carry a tune in a bucket. I had five kids in our family and my mother. We were all singers and musicians. My dad couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. We always said he was like the guy in jail behind a few bars and could never find the right key. That was my dad, okay? That was my father. So he tells her one Sunday, his message, whatever, he wanted to do the song, Have You Counted the Cost, right? And so the invitation comes. My mother played Have You Counted the Cost introduction. And throughout the whole song, my father sang Just As I Am to Have You Counted the Cost. I frankly don't know how he did it, but he did. I've never forgot that. You know, wow, that was some talent you had there, you know. I was in a church in Nevada, and the preacher got up, and he started singing a song. His wife's playing the piano. He went all the way through the first verse singing a different song to the song she was playing. He started the second verse, and he started to sing the second verse of the song he was singing. She's playing. She stopped. And she, and it was on a Sunday night, and I had preached this message on Sunday morning. And so it's Sunday night, and he does it, and his wife stopped playing the piano. She said, what are you doing? And he said, what? And a deacon in the back row yelled, I was there! Brought the house down. Poor guy. Wasn't that bad. That was pretty wild, though. Think about stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in church, and you're sitting up. Remember during COVID when you're sitting at home eating your popcorn and your PJs, and Brother Ross is trying to be a blessing? Remember that? It's really not church. This is church. You need one another. You need to be in the house of God. I don't know what it is. There's something about humanity. We need one another. Amen? How about the times that I remember and I was there when my son made decisions in church with tears flooding down his face? How about when my daughters and my other son, Justin, made decisions in the house of God? I remember during a missions conference when evangelist Rob Hicks was preaching in our church, and my son-in-law was sitting on the second row there, and my daughter was sitting behind him. She had just told the Lord that if the guy she was interested in, we weren't allowing them to date at that time, but everybody in the whole world knew that they were interested in each other. And my daughter was sitting behind him, and she told the Lord that if he did not surrender to serve the Lord with his life, she was not going to ever, you know, date him or you know, anything like that. And lucky for him, he went down the aisle that night and surrendered his life to the Lord. And he's now my pastor. I led his dad to Christ in 1990 in their house right in front of the fireplace. All these years later, he married my daughter. I have five grandkids from him. I remember when he was laying prostrate on the floor right here, just weeping and crying. I remember that like it was yesterday. You know, it's just crazy, all the memories I have, the good memories of being in the house of God. We had an evangelist years ago, and he preached, and one of our longtime deacons walked the aisle and got saved. I was there. I remember that. I never come to a church on a Wednesday night and say, well, there's no need to present the gospel tonight because, you know, everybody's saved that comes on Wednesday night. Not necessarily. Only he knows that. But I've been in church when things happen. It's just the craziest thing. Last year at football camp, they had me sing my song, God Wanted It That Way. You were there, weren't you? And I just stood up and sang the song like I always do. But this one young man, who I found out later, was going through some difficult times in his family life. While I was singing the first verse of that song, he got up out of his chair and walked down the aisle and just, you know, broke before God, kneeling there talking to the Lord. His coach got up and came down, and they were praying together. Pretty soon another young man got up, and another young man, and another young man. I don't remember how many there were. Pretty soon the place was flooded. There was men laying up here on this side, they're literally laying on the ground, weeping, moaning before God. It was crazy, Brother Nathan. It was a revival. It was the most insane thing I ever saw. I got done singing the song, and you know, almost half or more of the boys are down here with preachers and men of God praying with them, so forth. And I got done, I started walking off the platform, and Brother Booth, Evangelist Tim Booth, he said, "Sing it again." I said, "The whole song?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay." And I went back up and I sang it again. You know, all of that went on for how long was it, son? It was over an hour. Nobody said a word behind the pulpit. Nobody came up to the pulpit and said, hey, you need to get down here. God's speaking to your heart. You need to get... No, there was none of that. Nobody said a stinking word. And they just kept coming and coming, meeting with the Lord, and went on and on, the weeping and everything. It was wild. What it was revival. The preacher that was supposed to preach got up, and here's what he said. He said, "I'm not preaching tonight. Somebody else already is." And he sat down. And it went on. You know, Brother Nathan, my son, I don't know anybody else, can always say, "I was there." All of those young men could say they were there. This year, a missionary got up, started singing a song that Mrs. Castle wrote. And Brother Ben Jordan got up to sing. And he's a missionary to, where's he a missionary to? Dominican Republic. And he's got like an orphanage over there, right? So he's singing this song, and in that song, it starts to talk about a little boy on the street. And his heart broke. And he started choking up, and he couldn't finish the song. And he kept trying to go through it, and the piano player kept playing, and then finally he struggled through it, and he started singing the second verse. And as he started singing the second verse, a boy off to his right, teenager, got up, walked down the aisle, and started praying. Pretty soon, it just went insane. I think in that invitation, there were 12 young men who surrendered to be missionaries. I think there were four or five others that surrendered to preach. Is it, you know, and your heart just sits there and says, "Man, oh man, God is alive. God is real." And then you say, "I was there." Nobody has to like describe that to me. I was there. I could go on and on and on and talk to you about things, but I think you get it. When you give in and say, "Well, you know, I think I'll just stay home tonight and watch Matlock." You should be in church. You're going to miss it. The preacher's prepared a message. The Holy Spirit's laid things on his heart. God's going to use the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart. God wants to do something. And many Christians don't look at church like, "Church is great. My church is great. Oh, Lord, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." You know what the psalmist is saying? I got to get there. I can't let anything keep me from there. It's so great. It's so wonderful. You know what the average Christian's doing in America tonight? Today? They're blessed beyond measure. They're in the United States of it. Well, you know, Pastor Nichols, don't you understand? You know, I mean, we got Biden and we got, you know, the cackling vice president and we got all these problems. It's the greatest nation in the world, man. What are you talking about? I know it's got some warts. I know it's got some problems. We all know that. But why are they all trying to get here? You were born here. You got to get in the vehicle of your choice. Some of you made some horrible choices. I saw some Fords out there. I'm just kidding. you got to get in the vehicle of your choice and drive to the church of your choice. You're free. well, it's not as good as it was in the old days. You sound like those guys in Nehemiah, those nobles that put not their necks to the work. Well, it's not as good as it used to be. I remember back in the old days. Forget the old days except to learn lessons from them. We got to live now. And you're blessed beyond measure. This entire nation, there are churches all over this country that wish they had Jerry Ross as their pastor. I'm not just saying that to say it. I mean that. I told you in Sunday school, my wife and I prayed for a long time that God would have somebody somewhere raising their kids like we raised ours. And lo and behold, we bumped into Pastor and Mrs. Ross. And there's our daughter-in-law. Did you know, this was pretty wild, about, I think, a year before they started dating, maybe two, I think it was for sure a year, my wife walked past the post office in the college with another lady. Am I telling it wrong? You walked past where? You're in the coffee shop. See, I can really mess these stories up because I was not there. I was in the coffee shop with your sister. And Tabby walked by. Oh, you were the waitress? Oh, okay. I saw a thing the other day that said, if you're in a restaurant and you're waiting on the waiter, you're the waiter. It's true. Anyway, so Tabby was working there and so what. And my wife, this is a good year before. AJ didn't even know. They didn't even know each other existed. And my wife said to her sister, there's a girl I'd like my son to marry. Is that crazy? Now, she can say I was there. I can't. But I still like the story. But in all seriousness, I'm so glad that Pastor and Mrs. Ross stayed faithful with all the garbage going on in the world around them and around us. And everybody, well, do this, run off after this little thing, and this Roman candle over here. Everybody's changing all the time. They all changed. Listen, I went to Bible college, and about 85% of the guys that I graduated with are not Baptists anymore. You think that happened in Pastor Ross's life? I guarantee you it did. He had his chances along the way to say, you know, I think we could get a better attendance if we'd have Johnny Cash come and sing instead of Pastor Nichols. And he probably would. But he's just an old-time man of God saying, no, we're not doing that. We're not compromising to somehow get more. We're just going to trust God. And he raised that daughter for my son. Oh, you think I like this church? You think I like the pastor's wife? But yeah. See, I know what you have. You have something very precious. You get to come to church and your kids get to go to wonderful Sunday school classes and learn about Jesus from the time they're very little and they go in there. Mrs. Ross had 19 in her class this morning. That's awesome. I watched those little kids walk out with you, Mrs. Ross, and I thought, is anybody going to help her? The poor thing. You know, I asked her, how'd it go? She said, oh, we had a great time. You know when I like to do this? I like to do this when it's about 110 in California outside. Everybody's sweating. And they give me a glass of water. I'm like, And then start preaching. You know, the reality is, you've got to come to church with the mentality that says, oh, this is great. How amiable. Oh, God, I'd rather hold that door open for people in my church than all the money in the world. I love my preacher. I love my preacher's wife. I love the people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't wait to go to church. I need church so bad. Life's tough and then you die. And I need my church. I need to be encouraged, but I also need to be preached at. There's things in my life that shouldn't be there. And I need the word of God opened and that two-edged sword just cut away at me. And a man, in fact, my son-in-law, Stephen, his grandpa, his name was Harlan Rader. And Harlan would come down the aisle. I mean, this man was big. He was big man, taller than me and just big. He'd come down the aisle and he'd weep. I remember he got up. He had just started growing in the Lord. And he got up one Sunday from, I said, "Harlan, can I pray with you?" And he got up and he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, don't you ever stop preaching the way you preach." He said, "Every time I come, it's like an onion and another layer gets peeled off." I told him that day, "I'll never stop preaching the way I preach. Till I go to heaven, I'll keep preaching." Did you hear about the little kid? His little grandson came running to him and said, "Hey, do you hear what? Mama said we're going to Disneyland." He said, "Really? When are you going?" She said, "Whenever you croak." So I don't know if they're all going to Disneyland when I die, but I'm having a good time on the journey. You know why? Because church is great. Your church is great. You say, "Well, you don't know about such and such." Yeah, and I don't need to know that. It's amazing to me how the Lord used the word sheep to describe us. Sheep will literally walk over a cliff's edge after somebody. "Well, looks like that's what we're doing today." You know, they're dumb. They're absolutely dumb. But isn't it amazing? You know, you're in church. Your preacher loves you. He prays for you. He preaches to you. He spends time talking to you and counseling you and helping when your child maybe wasn't what they should have been and all these different things. And you love him. You think he's the greatest guy in the world. But somebody comes along and says, "And I don't know, what do you think about that message this morning? I don't know if I agree with that." And you go, I don't know. That was a little rough. Come on, you big baby. You can handle it. You say, "How can I handle it?" Well, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Right. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me." You can handle it. Right. But what happens is that you get over here, and as I said in Sunday school, now you're in the bad and you got to make the good bad. So now we got to talk bad about the pastor. We got to talk bad about the church. It used to be great. You used to love it. You used to think it was the greatest thing in the world. But now you got to make it bad because every man's way is right in his own eyes, like I talked about in Sunday school. And now you got to make all that bad. It's not bad. It's great. Your problem is you need to stop getting involved in that and get back and saying, "How amiable are thy tabernacle?" Oh, man, church is great. That's where you need to be. And very quickly, I have pastored people for 20 years. Then all of a sudden, I was a monster. I pastored a family for 16 years. I don't know how many times the wife came to me and said, "Pastor, I'm so thankful for you. If it hadn't been for you, my three daughters wouldn't know how to dress like ladies. They wouldn't know how to be the right kind of Christian gals. They wouldn't know how to be raised up to be the right kind of wives and all this." She said, "I'm so thankful for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor." And then one day, they literally printed out a paper of their troubles and started handing them out, Mrs. Ross. They started handing them out to all the people of the church. And I went over there and said, "Hey, what are you handing out?" He said, "Oh, I'm just letting everybody know." He said, "Tonight will be our last service." And I grabbed all the papers out of his hand. I said, "No, this morning was your last service. Bye. You're not going to," I said, "you're the first person in all the years that I've pastored that ever printed their sowing the discord." Most people don't print it or take videos of themselves, you know. But we're living in a really interesting generation, aren't we? And off he went. All of a sudden, he spread around. Well, number one on the list was, "Pastor Nichols doesn't love people anymore." One of my men said to him, he tried to recruit one of my guys. You know what my guy said to him? He said, "Pastor's changed." And my guy that stood for God and for his pastor said, "No, you've changed." And you know, this guy, he actually stepped back and said, "Well, yeah, you're right. We have changed." And off he went. Don't let that be you. Church is great. You got a great pastor, great pastor's wife. You got it all here. Everything you're supposed to have, you got here. And it's wonderful. I'll close with this. Years ago, I prayed for over 10 years for a man to get saved. 10 years. And he wouldn't get saved. Every time I went over to visit him, he'd have a big cup from 7-Eleven and he'd be sipping on it. I did not know, but it was filled with tequila and rum. I didn't know that. But he just, I'd get my Bible out and he'd say, oh, preacher, yeah, you can put that away. I don't need that. I know what it all says anyways. I couldn't get to him. You couldn't help like this guy. He was a great guy. He had more guns that if it all went down, I was going to go to his house. You know, this is that kind of guy. And just, you know, and one day I got a phone call that his mother, who I pastored for many, many years, his mother led him to Christ. I was so excited. Praise the Lord. And I pastored him for 7 years. Man, he was living for God. His whole family's in church and kids are in the Christian school, just doing great. And one day he came to me and he said, I'm going to build an addition on our house. And Pastor, you're not going to see me in church for about 2 months. I said, what? He said, yeah, the only time I can work on this is be on Sundays because I work 6 days a week. So the only way I can get this built is to do it on Sunday. I said, don't do this, man. I said, lean on to thine own understanding and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You can't do this. He said, Pastor, I know what you would say. I didn't really come here to ask you what to do. I just came here to let you know. I haven't left the church. I'm just, you know, I'm working on our addition. He said, my wife really needs this. You know, if she's just, you know, things haven't been going well. And I think this will really encourage her. So the reality was his wife was not in the will of God. She was barking at him. And he thought, well, I'll just build this addition and then everything will be happy again in our house. So he missed church. During that time, their marriage really started struggling. He got done building that house and he borrowed money to do that against the value of the home. And then he tells me, he said, listen, man, he said, I'm going to take out a loan and I'm going to get my wife a new vehicle and I'm going to get her some jewelry and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I said, man, don't do this. You got good equity in that house and you're blowing it. You're throwing it away. Don't do this. If that's what makes her happy, then something wrong with her spiritually. Well, that's what I got to do, Pastor. And so he started doing it. For months, I've not seen him in church. All of a sudden, I found out his wife left him. All that stuff he did, and it didn't work, and she left him. Now he's really disturbed. Now he's going back to drinking like he had been drinking before he got saved, trying to drown it all in a bottle of liquor. One day I was driving up to Redding, California to preach for Brother Mike Johnson. And on the way, he called me. He said, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, sure, what's wrong? He said, man, I need to get right with God. The worst thing I ever did was get out of church. I should have never got my family out. I should have never done it. You were right, Pastor, and my life has just gone upside down. And is it okay? Can I somehow get right with God? I said, absolutely, you can get right with God. And I prayed with him on the phone, and I said, listen, man, I'm preaching. I won't be able to be home till Thursday morning, but when I get home, I'll come straight to your house and we'll spend some time together. He said, oh, and then on Sunday, he said, could the deacons and Pastor Douglas, he was about that time, I think he was about 75, retired preacher. He said, could you just put your hands on me and pray for me? I need help bad. I said, sure. So I went and I preached. I preached to the Christian school. And then I was going to preach that night. And all my family was with me. AJ was with me and his brothers and sisters. My wife was homesick. And we went up there and I'm on the way to lunch. My phone rang. Kids are in the car with me. We're following Pastor Johnson going to a Big Bear restaurant for lunch. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and I lifted my phone up. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just following Pastor Johnson with the kids. We're going to lunch. She said, honey, pull over and stop. I said, what are you talking about? Honey, please, just pull over and stop. I said, okay. I pulled over to the side of the road. I said, what's going on, honey? She said, he just stuck a Glock in his mouth. He came out of the bedroom. His son was playing Nintendo. And he said, I love you, son. And he stuck a Glock in his mouth and blew his brains all over the kitchen. He's dead. Oh, man. I love this guy like he was my brother. I loved him. We got along great together. Man, my heart broke. I can still hear him say, I should have never got out of church, preacher. I should have never got out of church. The dumbest decision I ever made, preacher, was getting out of church, getting my family out of church. By the way, one of his sons became a drug addict. One of his sons is now a transvestite. I mean, all those kids that were in our Christian school, and his son had just surrendered to be a missionary. Believe he was in the 11th grade. All of a sudden, they're all out of church, and next thing you know, that one's a drug addict. That one's doing this. That one's doing that. It just broke your heart. And I can hear him say, I should have never got out of church, preacher. I'm here to tell you, you can blow it off if you want to, but I'm telling you, church is great. It is amiable. It's better to have some small job in the house of God than all the money the world could ever offer you. And it's not Pastor Ross's church. It's your church. Bothers me when people say, you know, that church of yours. Well, good night. You've been here for 10 years. Isn't it your church yet? Your church. Serve God in it. Be used of God mightily. And always remember, you want to be able to say, I was there. Father, thank you for your word. Please, Lord, speak to hearts today. Life is busy. Lord, I didn't preach a message today that's just, you know, get everybody down the aisle. But Father, it's such a great truth. We lose the value of it in our hearts and in our minds and get caught up sometimes in things that shouldn't be caught up in. May someone be reminded today that they're blessed beyond measure. May their attitude turn around. May their service to you turn around. May the joy of the Lord become very evident in their heart that they literally love the fact that you gave them their church. You gave them their pastor. What a precious gift. God, continue to use Blessed Hope Baptist Church mightily to reach the lost and dying, not just around here, but all across the world, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.